Welcome to PR After Hours, your weekly cocktail of news and interviews with leading thinkers in PR, marketing, and business. So pull up a chair in our virtual lounge. Your host, Alex Greenwood, will be right back after this.
It was John Quincy Adams who said, if your actions inspire others to dream more, learn more, do more, and become more, you are a leader. Well, you know what? Some would say John Quincy Adams knew a little bit about leadership, and I think he was probably right, but I think there is a lot more dimension to leadership than pithy quotations here, and that's why I'm very excited to welcome to the show Michelle Cox. She is an executive coach. She's got tons of experience in this area, and we're going to talk to her today about ways we can develop our own selves in our own organizations and within those organizations as a leader. Michelle, welcome to the virtual lounge.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it too. So leadership, I'm going to just throw a wild card at you right away here. I don't believe everybody's a leader.
I agree with you.
Aha! But you do make a living as a very successful coach who does at least bring out the leadership qualities in your clients. But I just had to ask you, does that mean though that sometimes you have clients and you realize, okay, they're probably not going to be, she's probably not going to be the captain of the ship, or she's probably not going to be president, but she is going to be a leader in her unit, is that how you do it? Let me know.
Yeah. So I would look at it in a couple of different realms. Most of the time, the people that I'm working with are already a leader of people. So they're already in the leadership realm. Every now and then an organization or an executive I'm working with requests that I work with someone within their team that has high potential. And so they want me to work with them to develop that potential. And they can be a great leader of themselves, but not necessarily a great leader of people. And there's a real differentiator line to it is, do you get excited about leading people? Does it make you want to wake up in the morning? Do you want to coach and develop? Does it inspire you? Does it motivate you? Because if it doesn't, do not become a leader of people.
Yeah.
You can be a great individual contributor, and organizations need individual contributors, and they're no less valuable than leaders of people.
100% agree. I've been working for 30 years now, and at times just been a solopreneur, and at other times I've led teams of 10, 20 people. And maybe it's just a product of the fact that I'm getting old, but right now I'm on a team right now. I'm on a contract. We were talking offline about that. Mm-hmm. And I love just being on the team. I'm glad I'm not in charge of everything. I'm glad I'm not, as I've been saying, when I run my own agency, you know, hunt the game, catch the game, skin the game, cook the game, eat the game. Then the next day, hunt the game, skin, you know, keep them going and going and going. I love just being an integral part of that. Doesn't mean I wasn't a decent leader before, but I think I'm in a different season. Have you found that as well, that people have different seasons when their leadership is more important to them and more active?
100%. So there's two different places that leadership can go. It can be that they've been an individual contributor, and now they see it around them and they're like, ooh, I want to get my toes in the water there and see, and I want to play. And then you have people that have been leaders of people and they're burnt out. And burnout can happen for a multitude of reasons when you're a leader of people, but the burnout typically comes from you're doing their work for your team. You're not balancing out. And I say balancing out for you. You're not taking care of yourself as a leader. And so you're depleted. And so it's really hard to give to other people if you're giving from an empty cup. So, and I find that more often than not, leaders of people who then are wanting to transition into being a leader of themselves only, an individual contributor, likely have been in leadership roles and they've gotten depleted. And they just don't have anything left to give to people. So they're ready to give to themselves and themselves only.
Yeah, there's no gas in the tank. It's, yeah. Let's hop on an electric bike for built for one, shall we? Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
let's talk a little bit about being a leader in your work. I think I've read up on you. You say your team is a reflection of you. Can you elaborate on that a little?
Absolutely. You, as a leader, you model the way for your team. And so when your team sees you doing X, Y, and Z, whether they see you having conversations about other people, or they say you inspire people, or they're seeing you motivate, or they see you getting down in the trenches with them, you're modeling the way for how they're going to perform. You're also modeling the way if you're taking responsibility, or if you're giving credit, or if you're like, you are 100% the catalyst for how your team is going to act and how they're going to perform, because you're teaching them.
Right. I really do believe you should model the behavior you want your team to exalt. When I've been in a leadership position, I think I've never been more successful than when I've been somewhat vulnerable. And do you know what I mean? I don't mean like always just being like showing up to work, crying in my beer, going, I can't do another day of this. But you know what I mean? When they could see there was a human side to me about things.
100%. Because let's just face it, our worlds aren't all sunshine and roses as leaders. And if you, like, you're putting on a complete act if you think that. But it's like being vulnerable to say, I made a mistake, or I missed this, or like, I have some personal stuff going on and it's impacting me, and I need additional support from you guys to step up and help me in X, Y, and Z so I can be fully present. And that vulnerability, then in turn, they're going to do that for you, like back and forth. You're going to see them be vulnerable with you to say the same exact things and to respond back to you the same way, because they know that you're going to show up for them like they're being expected to show up for you, vice versa.
Yeah, you know, and this may not be the best example, but there's a film, it's a very violent film. It's Saving Private Ryan, but Tom Hanks plays the captain of a platoon, and it's evident the men love him because he's a good leader. He's soft-spoken, but when the time comes, when it gets down to it, he does it right. But there's a scene where he's talking to one of his corporals, I believe, and the corporal's complaining about their orders and about, this is all BS. Why do we have, you know, this is, and you know, it's bad. They're stressed out. And he's kind of just talking around Tom Hanks' character about it. And Hanks doesn't say anything. And he says, Captain, aren't you upset about this? And he says, yeah, I am, but I don't complain to you. I complain to my boss. I'm not going to complain to the people who work for me, but I'm paraphrasing, right? And I love that. And I had to learn that lesson as a young manager and leader. It's okay to be friendly. And as I expressed earlier, I think there's the vulnerability, but you can't open the curtain wide like that all the time. Am I making sense there?
100%. It's about the level of transparency that you show. It's okay to relate. And I use this from a relationship perspective. Like, you can relate to your team and in a relatedness fashion, be like, I agree. I don't agree with this decision. And know that the most important thing, if I want to make a difference, make a change, it means I have to push it up. And literally tell and explain and provide data and give the information up so we can influence the change. Complaining to you about why I don't agree with it isn't going to make a difference in the organization. It's not going to make a difference in your life. It's not going to make a difference. When I go up, it's going to.
I like that. Yeah, because if you're just standing around the water cooler like everybody else, you're not finding solutions. It's another thing I used to tell my teams is like, if you've got a problem, bring it to me, but I'd love it if you bring along a possible solution with it. So that kind of leads right into your relationships, though. You talked about creating healthy relationships with your team and creating trust. Can you elaborate a little on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that relationships, people don't necessarily know the components about being truly in relationship with anybody. And I think that's where there's breakdowns that occur. So I look at four different components of actually creating healthy relationships. One of those is hearing, like actually listening to your team, like, or your partner or whomever it is, friendships, it doesn't matter who it is, but actually hearing, being present, fully in the moment and in the conversation without distraction. Another piece is acknowledgement, like actually an acknowledgement looks two different ways. It looks like it not being responsible. And it also means actually acknowledging like the person, like I acknowledge you for being responsible, like, and actually calling out the behaviors you want to see. Another piece is actually knowing the person beyond the work they do. So what their values are, what's important to them, what wakes them up in the morning, what gets them excited. So it's combining both their personal and professional life. And then the fourth piece is being in integrity. So your intentions, speaking, and actions all align. And when you have all four of those components tied together, you're in a healthy relationship and you've created relationship. When you're missing one of those components, you're missing all sorts, you're missing communication, you're missing knowing the person beyond just the work that they're doing, but they're passionate about them. And if you know that stuff, you can then align work to those things. So there's so many layers into it. And I think if you start taking a step back and really diving deep into relationships and relationships at work and creating relationships from that lens, then you're actually starting to create integrated relationships and being in relationship.
And I'm not being silly, but it sounds like so much work and so much energy.
Yeah, it sounds like it, but it's really not. So if you look at it, you combine the two things. So knowing a person is actually like finding out about them. Like, what'd you do this weekend? I went golfing. Hey, you know something about the person. That's really just a natural state of finding out. How are you? How's your family doing? You're getting to know them outside of just the work that they're doing. And you're communicating. So when you start integrating, you're communicating with them. You're listening to them. You're putting that in your archives. So you're able to then follow up with them. You know, you told me your mom had surgery last week, and how's she feeling?
That's just human 101. But I think a lot of managers give lip service to that, but don't really follow through. I actually had a boss who would say, how was your weekend? I started to tell him, and then he would change the subject and talk about himself right away.
Right. That means he wasn't hearing you. He wasn't he wasn't fully present. He wasn't communicating with you. And so that's why the components are so important. And when you start labeling the components, when you're in relationship with people, you then can start saying, if there's something wrong in a relationship, you can say, what part is wrong in the relationship versus being like, we have no relationship. Well, what part is out? And you can start working on a piece of it versus being like, we have no relationship and there's nothing I can do about it. You can then label it and start taking action specifically in different areas versus trying to look at the big, big thing of relationship.
I love that. That's really great. And all these things working together kind of build up to another point you have, which is being a leader in your organization, right?
Yes, 100%. And really being a leader in your organization is creating your vision. And it doesn't matter if you're a executive vice president, a CEO, if you are a leader in a team, you have a vision for that team. And you get to create that vision and get people excited to come into work and understand why you're doing what you're doing. And it starts there. It really starts with creating your vision and then aligning people with that. So they're part of your vision. So they know where you're going, why you're going there, and what part they play in creating that.
It's fantastic stuff there. Well, I want to talk to you about you though. Now, how do you work with people? How does this happen? Do you typically get a call from somebody in HR, or do you maybe, are you on like the rubber chicken circuit there, you know, and you meet people who are speaking at Rotary and they're like, oh my gosh, I need help. You know, well, how do you usually get your clients? I'm just dying to know.
You know, I put content out on LinkedIn because I want to be able to give value. So even if you're not working with me, I want you to be able to have something, tools, resources to leverage your hat, like to actually have something to go to. And so LinkedIn is places people will come and they'll be like, Michelle, I've seen your content. I want to work with you. Please, let's do this. And then on the flip side of it, I also have CHROs coming to me and saying, hey, Michelle, we have this, an executive that needs help. And these are the specific areas that we think they need help in. However, you're the expert. So go nuts. And then I start working with them through that. I mean, it's like they think that they know what the quote unquote problem is, but that what usually they think is the problem isn't really the problem. So it's really, so that's really how it works. And that's, it's funny when we say it like that, but that's literally usually how it goes.
You know, I'm similar. Most of my executive council that I do, they think they need media training, and they do, but really, it's not, it doesn't start there. That's more like, that's the last thing we need to do on the three things we need to work on. But it's not that they're bad people or they can't communicate well, but I've always worked to help them organize. We get back to what you're discussing about vision. I try to help them organize that vision where they can communicate that message to everybody in the organization.
Yes, 100%. And you know, it's kind of funny. Like I had a senior, I was assigned to work with somebody. They said, he has a problem letting go of people. And that wasn't the problem. The problem was is that he was doing other people's work and not holding his team accountable. So there was nothing, he couldn't ever let them go because he was doing the work for them and didn't even know he was doing it because he had no awareness he was doing what he was doing. And so part of my role is to listen and start creating awareness so you can make changes and you can start transitioning.
That's so great. And I suspect it's very similar to when I work with my clients. You're a good listener. You probably ask a lot of questions. Do you?
I do. Sometimes they may not like all the questions or like, really? But that's the whole point. You got to get underneath it so you can get to what's really the root cause so you can support them.
What's the, and I wonder, this is, we're about out of time. Unfortunately, I'm just loving this conversation, but I wanted to ask you, what is maybe the one thing that you found is a misconception about what you do, executive coaching? Is there a misconception out there that you kind of want to knock down a little bit here, or has everybody got a good idea what you guys do?
Yeah, I would say that there is a misconception because there's coaches out there that are really strategy, they're providing strategy. They're providing a strategic direction. They're providing advice. I'm not here to provide advice. I'm here to work with you to uncover what's truly driving the behavior and then start creating a different behavior to create a long-term result. Because I can give you all the strategies in the world, but it's only a one-time thing and it's only solving a one-time problem. And I want to work with you to create a long-term solution. So a year from now and 2 years from now, you're like, I got this and you've already created it.
Yeah, I like that. You know, you can teach someone to fish, or you can either fish, you know, give them a fish, or you can teach them to fish. Yeah, exactly. Same thing here. Well, tell you what, Michelle, how do people get a hold of you? That you're on LinkedIn. If you don't mind, I'll put that link in the show notes. But
that would be fantastic.
Your website is
www.michellelcox.com.
Okay. I'll put that link in the show notes too. Now, listeners, I know you're probably riding a bike or on a treadmill or in the car. Fear not. It's all in the show notes, wherever you get your podcast, but it'll also be on prafterhours.com. You'll have all the links to Michelle's where you can find her, and you should follow her and check out her content. I do. It's great stuff. I was so thrilled that she could be on the show because I enjoy what she has to say. And I'm pretty sure you do too. I'll give you the last word, Michelle. What's the last thing you'd like to leave everybody with today?
That's a big one. So I would say inspire yourself. Go out there, find out what inspires you and what you're passionate about, and lead from that.
I love it. Yeah, John C. Maxwell once said, a leader is one who knows the way, goes the way, and shows the way. And Michelle Cox, you've just shown us the way. And I really appreciate that. And I hope if people are out there listening and they're thinking about, I should sharpen up these leadership skills, I hope they'll give you a call.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Hi, I'm Michelle Stinson-Ross, a longtime listener, occasional guest, and definite friend of this podcast. I am also the co-founder of Mindful Appy. I'm here today to ask for your help. Mindful Appy is about to launch an academic peer-reviewed study to validate how we measure emotion with emoji. We need the diverse group of 500 participants that are willing to engage with us over the course of 5 days. If you're interested in participating in the study and helping us by sharing your feelings for science, please visit mindfulappy.com. That's mindfulappy.com.
You know what that means. It's last call here at the Virtual Lounge. Be sure to visit prafterhours.com for links to what we discussed in this episode and more. Be sure to follow us wherever you get your podcasts. And join us next time for another round at PR After Hours with Alex Greenwood.